The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Welcome to Always Right with Bob France on AM 1420. The Answer.
Never left, never wrong. Hour number two is underway. 8 minutes past 10 o'clock on this Thursday edition. It's the 20th morning of the first month of the year of our Lord, 2022. It's been 1 year since Joe Biden began his systematic destruction of virtually everything that we have come to rely upon in this country, from our energy to our sovereignty, to our security, to our ability to provide for our families. 1 year ago, this all began, and we'll continue talking about that after his press conference yesterday, coming up in just a bit. But for now, at the top of hour number two, I want to say good morning and welcome to our regular Thursday commentator, Dr. Everett Piper joins us. He, of course, is a best-selling author. He is a columnist for the Washington Times. He's a radio podcast host in Oklahoma, and he's also running for county commissioner in Oklahoma as well. Dr. Piper, good morning.
Hey, you know, one thing that I forgot to tell you, I was actually a Buckeye for a brief period of time. I'm a graduate of Bowling Green State University and worked at the university for a while.
Really?
So I've got a little bit of your Buckeye blood in my veins.
How did I not know that? That's fantastic. I love that. So there's a connection here. I mean, obviously, we connect with you not because of any Buckeye roots, but because what you say has great dramatic impact, in my opinion, on our culture, our national culture. I would talk to you no matter where you were from, but that's very cool that you have a little bit of Northwest Ohio Buckeye blood in you. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Piper, I want to dive into your column from this past Sunday in the Washington Times, and we'll talk about the nuts and the bolts and the merits of your argument about critical race theory being the opposite of Christianity, which, by the way, I agreed with before I read your column, and just you strengthened it, you buttressed my points, which I was very glad to see. But before we talk about the content, I want to talk about the censorship of that content. One of the very first things that I noticed, and you were kind enough to share with me your column, is that it was almost instantaneously flagged for false information by Facebook when you posted your column on Facebook. So what I want to know is, have you found in the last 5 days, Dr. Everett Piper, what exactly did they find false about the words that you wrote in your column?
They don't even identify it. In fact, if you click on that false information, that ubiquitous gray box that shows up when you try to post something, and the brilliant fact checkers at Facebook, these 25-year-old kids with purple hair and nose rings and a tattoo across their nose, I mean, they're the ones telling you what you can read and what you can't. And I'm so sick and tired of it. I literally did. I posted my article with this quote. And here's the quote. And you tell me. You tell me what is not factual about this quote. This is taken straight from my article. I say this: forgiveness is what sets Christianity apart from other religions. The gospel of God's unmerited grace is the antithesis of all opposing worldviews. It is the direct opposite of the relentless karma of Buddhism, for example, or the vengeful retribution of Islam. The message of Christ and the church stands in juxtaposition to the spite, resentment, and demands for social justice and recompense fomented by critical race theory. Close quote. And I immediately got fact-checked on that. Now, when you click on the box, well, what's wrong with this? What did I say that isn't factual? And by the way, even if you disagree with me on my theology, this is a statement of theology. This is a statement of what Christianity stands for. And I've got some purple-haired nose ring idiot at Facebook telling me I'm wrong? where did they get their theological degree? What's their education in Christianity? I'm just curious. Anyway, I clicked on this thing. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. You're fact-checking me on that. And when you click on it, they say something about Antifa. Well, I don't say anything about Antifa in my column. They're clueless. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, that goes without saying. I think we found that out a long time ago. But what's most frustrating about it is, as you point out, that they won't tell you specifically. And you know, some of their gray boxes are different than others. Some say false information. Some say missing context. You know, you didn't even get a missing context here. They just said, nope, this is not true. Whatever it is, we're not going to say specifically, but what you wrote here is not true. It's false information, according to the nose ringers, as you say. That's the part I don't get. They could have said, look, maybe there's context about Islam that was missing because you don't have enough space to write about everything there is to know about Islam or about Buddhism or even about Christianity. Maybe they want to hit you with a missing context. I get that, maybe. But they're just basically saying what you wrote is false, and they make no effort whatsoever to prove that that to be true.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I reference three religions in that paragraph there. Mm-hmm. And as you know, my entire column is basically to say that Christianity promotes forgiveness. Christianity is grounded in grace. Christianity encourages all of us to look inward in our own brokenness, our own sin, rather than looking out the window and throwing stones at everybody else and accusing them of being the problem, of being the reason, of being the cause of all that ails us. Christianity is a faith, is a religion of confession. It's not a religion, it's not a faith of confrontation, of class conflict. There's a very clear distinction between Christianity and all other worldviews. You tell me what other worldview, let's take Buddhism or Islam, for example, do they say that you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7? No. But is that what Jesus says to St. Peter when Peter asks Jesus, how many times should I forgive? 7? 70? And Jesus says, no, you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. In other words, don't stop. That's a very different message than Islam. And I actually am going to cover this in my next column. When I refer to the relentless retribution of Islam, I'm referring to the Sharia concept of qisas. Q-I-S-A-S. Qisas. This is the concept in Sharia law of retaliation in kind, quote unquote. That is justice in Islam. You retaliate in kind. I am standing in opposition to that, and so does Christianity. And I could go into the karma of Buddhism too. But my point is, who the heck are these people to tell me that I'm wrong? I just don't understand.
Well, I could go into a whole other area of this by talking about Rand Paul, who pretty much said the same thing you're saying right now about Facebook. He has said about YouTube and about DirecTV, which dropped OAN, One American News. And he basically, because he dropped YouTube, his channel is now on Rumble. He has dropped his DirecTV and his AT&T because of what they just did OAN. And he basically said, same thing you did, by the way. He described them as being the young, purple-haired, tattooed, blah, blah, blahs, who are making all of the judgments here. And he said, why should we continue to give our money to those that hate us? And that's why he pulled the plug on those two things. But I don't want to chase that rabbit down the hole right now. I want to go back to your column, and I want to talk about the merits of it now, because this is very important. When you write that critical race theory is the exact polar opposite of Christianity, you're right for a million different reasons, but I just want to hit the one principal part that you just said, and then you can expound upon it. Christianity is rooted in forgiveness. Critical race theory is literally rooted in revenge. It literally says, this is what Ibram X. Kendi and other proponents of anti-racism and critical race theory say, is the only response to past oppression is current oppression against those who are the oppressors. And the only response to present oppression is going to be future oppression to those as well. It's all about revenge. It's all about payback. It's all about taking what's ours after it was denied us before. That is literally the very opposite of forgiveness.
Yeah. In other words, Christianity has a message of grace. I cannot earn anything. You cannot earn anything. It's God's unmerited grace that is granted to us because we do what? We repent, we confess, we humbly bow before him and ask for his grace. That is the opposite of saying this is going to be an endless conflict. Our faith is one of endless conflict. In fact, it's grounded in conflict theory, back to the Frankfurt School. This is the very nature of what they believe. They ground it in conflict. You against me, us against them, blacks against whites, the proletariat against the bourgeoisie. This is a theory. This is a faith of conflict, and it's ongoing resentment, ongoing revenge. Again, back to the Islamic view of qisas, and that is retaliation in kind, or the Buddhist view of karma. You get what you deserve. Well, frankly, here in Oklahoma, if I were to approach you at a restaurant and say, Bob, how you doing? Many people in Oklahoma would respond this way, better than I deserve. So I'll repeat that. How you doing? Is everything going okay? Better than I deserve. What's the message in this Oklahoma vernacular, the good old boy ranchers in Oklahoma? I'm not getting what I deserve because God is showing me favor over and above what I deserve. I'm benefiting from his grace. You tell me where critical race theory says that. There's nothing in critical race theory that says that. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's the embrace of Malcolm X's message rather than Martin Luther King's message. Martin Luther King understood that you don't stop hate by fomenting more hate, that you have to stop the vicious cycle by forgiveness. And that is what he preached. And there's a reason he didn't align with Malcolm X, because Malcolm X was basically embracing the exact opposite view, and that was of retaliation and conflict and conquest.
Sounds perfectly legitimate to me. I'm not going to gray box you for false information on the radio program. I will ask you this, though, Dr. Piper, and I don't mean to put you on the spot because I, too, am a hypocrite when it comes to this. I routinely point out the flaws and the fault with Facebook and their censorship or their suppression of speech of conservatives. So they call it misinformation, or in your case, false information or missing context or whatever. I haven't yet had the guts to do what Rand Paul did and just say, that's it, I'm out. He left YouTube for all of this, those censorship. I still have my account, too. So, again, I'm not pinning this all on you to do, but will there come a time when you say, enough is enough, I'm going to find another place to share my message?
I'm
it's hard, I know.
I'm a bit ambivalent in how to respond, and here's why. As an academic, as a guy who's made his living in the ivory tower, which I have said on the show 1,000 times, I think the beauty of the ivory tower, of the academy, of education, is that historically we've believed in a good argument, a good exchange of ideas. Bring it on. Let's debate this. That's been the nature of the academy for 1,000 years. And we trust truth to judge the debate. Therefore, if Facebook is going to allow me to stay in the room, in the classroom, if you will, and argue and debate, then I'll probably stay there. But I completely understand there's a time when you say, hey, I'm done with this. If you're going to censor everything I do, then I'm out of here. Now, if I had to pay for the privilege to be in Facebook, then maybe I'd take a different position, because I'm not going to give you any money.
That's fair point.
But
yeah, that's fair point.
Right now, I don't have to pay to be on Twitter, and I don't have to pay to be on Facebook. And therefore, even though, you know, they disagree with me, I was on a radio show out of Great Britain yesterday, actually a podcast to be more specific, and they disagreed with me. I was interviewed by an atheist for about an hour. Well, I'm glad you invited me. Most of your listeners probably disagree with me. You've got 600,000 subscribers, you say. Well, if I can communicate my worldview to 600,000 people for an hour on your show, fine. Thank you for inviting me, as long as you treat me in a civil and polite fashion. I'll engage.
Very, very good response. And that's kind of one of the reasons I stay on it as well. It's where I have my biggest following. I actually had way more followers than that on Twitter 2 years ago. And I did abandon that because I felt it was hurting my life, literally. It was so toxic. I found myself in a bad mood as I scrolled Twitter all day long. And I needed to get out of it. And I did. And I'm very glad that I did. Facebook still allows me an opportunity to reach a ton of people. And I do take advantage of that. And sometimes to use Facebook against itself. We'll stop that for now. We'll come back. We're going to talk about a couple of very important issues involving gender and sex. A couple of decisions have been made, and we'll get Dr. Piper's reaction to that next. AM 1420, The Answer.
Building back bigger.
Bigger and better.
and stronger.
Always right with Bob France.
Sometimes they say huge.
On AM 1420.
Really large.
The answer.
Okay, 1024. I've got 6 good minutes left with our friend Dr. Everett Piper. Dr. Piper, you and I talk a lot about reality. We talk about the dangers of critical race theory. Well, we also talk about critical gender theory, sometimes called critical queer theory, and some of the dangers that it puts girls in. Well, we've talked about athletes as well. The NCAA, this literally just came across at least my desk, my screen this morning. The NCAA has changed their transgender athlete participation policy amidst calls for reevaluation. This, of course, due to the University of Pennsylvania swimmer, a male swimming as a female and destroying all of the females in the process. We are steadfast in our support of transgender athletes and the fostering of fairness across college sports, said Georgetown University president and NCAA board chairman John DiGiola. However, the new approach is going to be that each sport will decide for itself on a sport-by-sport model similar to the one adopted by the U.S. and International Olympic Committees. So some sports, they will allow males to compete as females, and some sports, I guess on a sport-by-sport basis, they will not. Is this even a small step in the right direction?
No. They're getting some pushback because of this dude that's been swimming against women at the University of Pennsylvania. And you see the picture that's posted on this column that you're referring to right now. It shows the physique, the stature of this guy as compared to women. It's stunning. The broad shoulders, he's obviously a man, and he's destroying women in his competition. So now they're saying, I think the article says something like, you've got to demonstrate a testosterone level of X or below for 12 consecutive months if you're going to compete in a female sport. Okay, the lunacy of that. If you're a man, we'll let you to compete against women if you take drugs to lower your testosterone level. Forget what testosterone has already done to your body to make you stronger, bigger, faster. Forget the physiological advantages you have. If you take some drugs to reduce your testosterone level for 12 consecutive months, we'll let you pretend to be a woman and take the records away from women, take the shower away from women, take the scholarships away from women, take the sports away from women, take the bathrooms away from women. We'll let you take all of that away from women. We'll let you steal a woman's dignity. We'll let you steal a woman's identity if you just take some drugs and bump your testosterone level down a bit for 12 consecutive months. And then we'll pretend. We'll be delusional, just like you. We'll pretend that in your black facing of women, and you're dressing in exaggerated costume and exaggerated makeup, and you acting like a woman, actually literally black facing a woman, mocking her, pretending that you are one, we'll play that game with you. We'll enter into your fantasy land and let you pretend to be a woman, and we'll disparage, like all misogynists do, real women in the process. That's what the NCAA just did. It's shameful.
I've got so much more on this I would love to talk to you longer about, but I don't want to let this segment go by without asking you about the direction that we all knew this was going. Inevitably, this, you can identify as what you wish, and we will affirm your identification, and we will cast aside, and we will expel from the public square anybody who will not. If you can be a male and you, excuse me, if you are a male and wants to be a female wants to be a male, you can be a different race, and now you can be a different species. A teacher in California, a substitute teacher, has been fired or told we no longer will require your services as a sub because she went into a classroom and there was this young child. I want to say this was fourth grade. I wanted to double check that, but regardless, it's an elementary school child. The child in the classroom meowed at her. The teacher was explained to the substitute teacher by another student. He thinks he's a cat. He identifies as a cat. You have to meow back at him. She said, "No, I don't." The kid stormed out, went to the office, made a fuss. The teacher was relieved of her substitute teaching duties. They literally are, at least according to the teacher, and she posted a video of this, they are literally now affirming a child's belief that they are not just another sex, but that they are another species. Dr. Piper, go ahead.
We should do a routine series of commentary, and we should title it, "That'll Never Happen." Because several years ago, you and I both said, if we start releasing this kraken of subjective identity claims, that if you think you're a woman, you can identify as a man. If we start allowing people to choose their own pronouns, that they can choose a feminine pronoun even though they are biologically a male. If we release this kraken on society, it's endless. Pandora's box will bring all sorts of lunacy to the table. I said, back when they started debating the bathroom bill in North Carolina, that women's sports was dead. Oh, that'll never happen, was the response. And then you said, and I have said on this show, what's to stop somebody from identifying as a dog or a cat or a goat or a cow if they can identify as something else that isn't biologically true? Oh, that'll never happen. You guys are crazy. Well, here we are. Ideas always have consequences, and the consequences of this subjective identity lunacy is endless. It won't stop with cats. It'll keep going to anything else and everything else somebody wants to pretend to be.
You're right. We should start a list, and just kind of as time goes by, just start checking them off. All of the things that would never happen that happened because our culture decided that they should. Simply incredible. Dr. Piper, you are a visionary, and we always appreciate having you on. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Blessings. Take care.
That's Dr. Everett Piper on AM 1420, The Answer. We'll take a time out here for news. We'll come back, and we'll have free-for-all, open phone lines for you for the final half hour. I do have some more Biden audio I want you to hear from the press conference yesterday, but we'll take your calls, too, coming up on The Answer.
Upside down, and the majority turns to the left. Turn to the right. Always right. With Bob France on AM 1420, The Answer.
All right, 10:37, 23 minutes of outstanding awesome left for you on this Thursday. You can be a part of that awesomeness at 216-901-0945, 888-281-1110. We'll get you up and on the radio. I do want to finish the audio real quick of Joe Biden. Yesterday, as part of his just embarrassing and in all seriousness, just crushing. It should be a, you know, re-election chance crushing performance at the podium yesterday, screaming at reporters, lying about Republicans, claiming outperforming rather than over-promising. In terms of his results, I mean, it's really just an astounding thing to watch and behold. But there's part of it I didn't play for you yet that I want to play. And this is about essentially Joe Biden giving Vladimir Putin a green light to invade Ukraine without any obstruction from the United States, as long as Russia considers what they're doing a minor incursion. It's really something to behold. Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, that Biden should have stood up there and said, if they go into Ukraine, we're going to war. I'm not suggesting that at all. But by essentially saying that if Russia is just a little bit invading another country, we're not going to do anything about it. It's going to have to be a full-on invasion for us to throw the weight of our diplomatic and sanctions, economic sanctions and diplomatic sanctions against that country. I brought this up before, and I'll bring it up again because it should be heard again. If Donald Trump said, if Vladimir Putin just does a little bit of invading, I'm okay with it, he would have been impeached again for daring to suggest that his buddy Vladimir Putin, who obviously colluded to help him win the office in the first place, might go out there and invade another country and we won't do anything about it. Just listen to this. It's important.
Russia will be held accountable. if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia if they further invade Ukraine, and that our allies and partners are ready to impose severe cost and significant harm on Russia and the Russian economy. And, you know, we're going to fortify our NATO allies. I told him on the eastern flank, if in fact he does invade, we're going to, I've already shipped over $600 million worth of sophisticated equipment, defensive equipment, to the Ukrainians.
And so let me ask you this, China Joe. What happens when the Ukrainians abandon their posts? Is that $600 million worth of sophisticated equipment that's going to end up in the hands of the Russians? The same way you left $85 billion worth of sophisticated military and transport equipment in the hands of the Taliban? This man's foreign policy is a disaster. Minor incursion, we'll let it go. If it becomes major, well, then we're gonna really hit him hard with sanctions, and we're gonna send some equipment over to the Ukrainians. It's a disaster. Everybody knows it. Even the Today Show, you know, you have screwed things up when NBC breaks ranks with all of the legacy pro-Democrat media and actually challenges something. Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show had Kamala Harris on this morning. I think this is from this morning. Yeah, it is from this morning. She had Kamala Harris on this morning and asked, why did your boss give Putin a green light to invade Ukraine? Listen to the imbecilic response of the second most powerful person in America.
Ukrainian officials reportedly heard these words from President Biden with alarm. I know the White House tried to clarify it and clean it up afterwards, but was the damage done? You can't unring the bell. Is Vladimir Putin likely to listen to a later statement from the White House press secretary or the words of President Biden?
I will repeat myself, and I'm Vice President of the United States, and the President and I work closely together, and I know his position because he has been consistent in that regard. If Vladimir Putin and Russia takes aggressive action, it will be met with a cost that will be severe.
By the way, she couldn't even answer that question without the smile in the beginning of some giggles because she knew full well what she was about to say is not true. Joe Biden has not been consistent in his position on this. If he had, he wouldn't have said, if it's a minor incursion, it's all good. A major incursion, we'll have to do something about. This woman is so embarrassing that she makes an embarrassing president look good by comparison. Enough so that in the president's first press conference in months, a reporter actually had to ask him 1 year into his term the following.
To put Vice President Harris in charge of voting rights, are you satisfied with her work on this issue? And can you guarantee, do you commit that she will be your running mate in 2024, provided that you run again?
Yes and yes.
The response there is less important than the question. The question, 1 year in, 1 year into a four-year term, things have gone so badly and she has been such a disaster that a reporter actually said, if you run for re-election in 3 years, will she be by your side? Because she's been such a train wreck, a bigger train wreck than you, yourself, and your entire presidency. That's an astounding thing.
Okay. Don't care to expand?
Pardon me?
Do you care to expand?
No, there's no need to. I mean, I asked the question. She's going to be my running mate, number one. And number two, I did put her in charge. I think she's doing a good job.
Let me ask.
I did put her in charge, and I think she's doing a good job. The only person in America with a lower approval rating than Joe Biden is Kamala Harris, but she's doing a good job. Matthew is calling us from Medina, and you're now on AM 1420, The Answer. Matthew, go right ahead.
Thank you, Bob, for taking my call.
Certainly.
Yesterday, when you put those telephone numbers out on the air for the two senators, Manchin and Sinema.
Yes, sir.
I shut the radio down. I immediately made calls to them to thank them for standing up for America. And not only that, I called him back today to thank him all over again because the thing passed.
Good for you. Good for you, Matthew. That's exactly what I was hoping people would do. You know, because they are catching so much hate from their own party. The only way to keep them going, I think, motivationally, is to thank them from, you know, from the other side and tell them they're appreciated.
Right.
That's fantastic.
That's
good for
right.
you.
I'm telling you. And, Bob, I told your screener, I said, boy, you're a scrapper. You're my kind of guy, Bob. I like to get in there and really, you know, give him some knuckles.
Well, you know what, my friend? You know, I mean, in all, and thank you for the call, and thank you for the compliment, too, Matthew. In all seriousness, you know, it's not always like this. We're in a fight for the future. I mean, I've got two children who are now adults officially. One's 20, one's 18. I'm not going to be around forever. Their kids are going to come up behind them. And I'm telling you, I will go to my grave with extreme regret if I'm unable to say I did everything I could to try to leave them a good place to live, still the best place to live on the planet, that I'm not going to let it be destroyed without a fight. Now, I'm not putting on a uniform, and I'm not actually going out there and using knuckles, like you're saying. But in whatever capacity we have, it's incumbent upon us to do it. In Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema's case, the capacity they had was to stop the full-on assault on the rules and regulations of our Senate, and the assault on voting rights, or actually on elections, that will forever leave this country in one-party rule. They had an opportunity to step up and do that, and so they did it. Voters have the right to respond, and the responsibility, the obligation, in fact, to respond to that by supporting these people for their courage. It's heroic what they did. I am just doing what I have. We all have our own little, you know, a little piece to offer. And if mine is getting out there and motivating people on the microphone every day and being willing to scrap, being willing to fight, to defend, and to support what I truly believe is right for this country and its future. And not just this country, but the city, you know, in which I live, the state in which I live, and do all of the things we can to make sure that when I'm gone, that my children aren't living in despair. When I'm gone and my children are gone, their children aren't growing up in third world hellholes, which is what the United States is doomed to become as socialism takes root. And I know that might sound a little bit over the edge, a little bit hyperbolic, but it's not hyperbole. It really is not. Socialism has failed wherever it has been tried. Okay, socialism and communism kills. Over 100 million people historically have been killed by communism. I'm not going to go to my grave. God willing, that's a long way off. But I'm not going to go to my grave knowing I didn't fight to try to stop something that I knew would kill my kids and their kids and beyond that. I can't. We can't. None of us can. So that's all we're doing, Matthew. You're doing it. I'm doing it the best we can. Thank you. Let's go to Navy Man Norm, calling from Strongsville. That's twice in about a week, Navy Man Norm. It's good to have you back. What's on your mind, buddy?
Thanks. What's on my mind is the wonderful privilege bingo card put in the curriculum of Fairfax County. That's the home of Jen Psaki, Biden's mentally challenged hand puppet. This privilege bingo card asks the high schoolers to check their privilege. Their privilege being that if you're Caucasian, a male, heterosexual, a military veteran, or a child of a military family, you are considered privileged. If you have a full-time job, if you aspire to go to a four-year university, you are privileged. If you're a resident born in the United States, you're privileged. Well, yours truly, Bob, called the superintendent of the Fairfax County School District and the principal and the equity inclusive moron of the Oakland High School in Fairfax County. And let's just say I gave them a kind of a verbal spanking, and I came up with my own privilege card that I told them about. I said, how about this? How about if you're a fan of Fauci. How about if you're a mask maniac? How about if you dwell in a safe space in a college or university? Or if you live in your parents' basement? How about if you're a domestic terrorist and a member of MS-13, Antifa, or the FBI? How about if you're an anchor for CNN? How about if you kneel for the national anthem? And how about if you're a COVID vaccine booster? So let's have a conservative bingo card. They didn't seem to appreciate my humor, Bob.
I'm sure they didn't, Amen, Norm. I'm sure they didn't. But I love the fact that you in Northeast Ohio felt compelled to call some of the leadership there in Fairfax County, Virginia, and tell them, because, you know, it's kind of like what Matthew was saying. He's thanking me for being a fighter or whatever the case may be. In all seriousness, what we're doing is it impacts everybody. Here's the thing, Norm, and thank you for the call, my friend. Those kids growing up in a Fairfax County, a Loudoun County, or in a lot of other places, but obviously those are kind of the epicenters of the woke curriculum that propelled Glenn Youngkin to becoming the governor of Virginia. If those kids grow up to be leaders, how are they going to lead? They're going to lead people with the same exact woke nonsense that divides the population, that demonizes people who are, well, on the privilege bingo card. I'm looking at it right now. People who are Christians are demonized because you have privilege. White, heterosexual, cisgender, feel safe around police officers. If you do, you are clearly a privileged person. I just thought it meant I was a law-abiding person. I feel safe around police officers because I'm not breaking laws that would encounter a police or force an encounter with a police officer. If you are, let's see what else, both parents went to college, native English speaker, these are all privileges. I mean, how about this? I will admit this. There is privilege in the United States. There really is. There are people, some people in this country who are born with privilege that other people don't have. I will admit that and acknowledge that. You know who those people are? Americans. Period. If you were born here, you were born into privilege. And for all the rest of it, you can shut the hell up. You were born into privilege if you're American. And I don't want to hear, I'm darker skinned, so I'm not as privileged. Compared to what? Compare yourself to somebody born in an African nation, in a Central American nation, in an Eastern European socialist or communist nation, into an Asian nation, especially a communist one. If you were born in America, you have privilege that everybody else wishes they had, because they would trade places with you in a heartbeat. Don't believe me? Look at the southern border. All of these people with darker skin coming from different nations from around the globe, not just from Mexico and not just from the triangle countries, the Central American triangle countries. No, they're coming from all over the world. And they're different ethnicities and different colors. And they all want to be a part of this country because they know where privilege lives. Privilege lives in the United States of America. You're lucky to be here. I don't care what color you are. And to claim otherwise is disingenuous, it is dishonest, and it is flat out wrong. I'll be right back.
Whatever tomorrow brings.
We've got a better chance of survival if we work together.
Together on Always Right.
We stay together, we survive.
With Bob France on AM 420, The Answer.
Okay, 10:56, let's get a couple more in here before we're done to Fairview. Mark, you're on AM 1420, The Answer. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, Bob. I'll move fast here. But when he was talking about the green light, as far as with the road with Russia,
yes,
to me that was equivalent, and you think back, to Obama's line in the sand. But, you know,
totally.
I watched this thing. It was go ahead.
No, I just said totally. You're right. That's exactly what it reminded me of as well. Continue.
But the whole thing was, I'm telling you, it was deplorable and extremely sad. And I was just waiting for the big hook to come out and pull him off the stage. Take my president, please. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Derek in Richfield. Hi, Derek. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, Bob. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So Now, you're aware of, remember in 2018, Joe Biden, he gave a speech. He was at the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, and you can go on the CFR's website. You can watch the video. It's available. And he spoke about basically how he, when he was vice president, threatening the president of Ukraine to withhold, I believe it was $1 billion of aid.
That's right.
If he didn't fire the prosecutor who was investigating that Burisma gas company that Hunter Biden, was paid to send the board. It just astonishes me that how is that never looked into? It was right there on video. He said what he did. Everything they've accused Donald Trump of doing is what he did. And now it's just amazing. Now it's so funny. Here he is talking about dealing with Ukraine and Russia again.
Yeah, it's astounding, but you're exactly right. And this, of course, is the double standard by which we live. If you are a Democrat and you accuse Republicans of doing the very things that you are doing, you end up scot-free. You end up escaping it. And thanks for the call. Everything Hunter has done and everything Biden has known that he was a part of, he has never been forced to account for. In fact, the one media outlet that was willing to broadcast it, or in this case, write it and print it, was the New York Post. They were deplatformed by social media, and the rest of the legacy media wouldn't touch any of those things. You're not allowed to condemn or criticize a leftist, because if you do, it's going to have negative consequences for you, because it's going to boost up their conservative opponents. So Joe Biden can do anything that he wants, then they'll turn around and accuse Donald Trump of doing it and impeach him over it. And I know it just sounds like sour grapes. I'm sitting here complaining, and I am. I admit it. But it is the reality. This isn't just, making things up to advance our own cause. This is the reality of the situation. There is a double standard, and it is a dangerous one. All right, I apologize. I've got three people left on hold, but I can't get to you right now because we are out of time. Thank you to my guests on the program today. We talked to Jonah Schultz. If you missed that, listen to it on our podcast page, whkradio.com. We talked to Dr. Everett Piper. Thanks to our crew, Johnny and Marcy, and thanks to you for listening. Everyone have a great day. Let's go, Brandon.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.